I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, I talked about it earlier in the season. It's going to be sick when we go on a run, and it seems pretty sick right now at Fenway that we're going on a run. But I'd say that the boys are staying together. You know, even when we're behind, we're never out of it, and we kind of show that all year, and it's just coming to fruition right now, so it's awesome.
Jarren Duran did say the Red Sox were going to go on a run, and he did say it was going to be sick.
And they did go on a run, and it was sick.
It was sick.
So credit to Jarren Duran, a player I want off the team and has been awful this year and didn't really help the winning streak at all. In fact, they won in spite of him many times.
Well, he was good in the first game yesterday that got him to 15. He was brutal in the night game last night, including that horrible play off the wall.
He has a sub-600 OPS.
Couldn't jump that high?
Say it again?
You couldn't jump that high?
No, I mean, you know, you could just understand it's going to be over your head and not try to make some highlight reel play you were never going to make.
That was 15 feet off the top of the wall.
Hold the guys on base. Like, you could have just done that. But anyway, I'm sorry. You were saying about his OPS?
Yeah, players with a higher OPS. Sungche Chang, yep. Marcelo Meyer, Mickey Gasper, Anthony Flacco-Seagulls, IKF, Nick Sogard. Yeah,
Duran's
been horrible.
The whole team, basically.
Well, not Carlos Narvaez or Trevor Story.
I mean, they were trying to extend their winning streak to 16 with both Narvaez and Duran in there last night. And an opener.
It is remarkable they've been able to do it with the group that they have. But I honestly, though, credit to him, because we all laughed at him when he said they're going to go on a run. And sure enough, it took a little bit, but they did, in fact, go on a run.
They did. It was, of course, 15 in a row. They also went 20-2. Matching the best 22-game stretch in franchise history. They did it in 88 playoff team, 95 playoff team, 2004 World Series winner. They went 23-5 over a 28-game stretch.
Okay.
The only other teams that did that, tell me if you like these teams, Keith.
Hit me.
2004.
World Series winner.
2018.
World Series winner.
So those were the stretches.
Maybe the two best teams I've ever seen.
That the Red Sox were on. Okay. And Duran, to his credit, in the first game was a part of it.
Yep.
Both he and Bayo annoyed the crap out of me last night. We had them on our GTFO banger tiers the other day, Keith.
Viral, like a sneeze.
Another viral tier. I think even more viral on Instagram than Twitter.
Oh, Instagram popping off.
But it did quite well.
People are hot about some of the stuff on there. You know who they're mad the most about?
Roman Anthony?
Yeah.
I'm with them. I argued Roman Anthony on the IL will help tier.
But that's one where
you said won't help, and I got outvoted by Billy.
I think
so. I'm with the people on that.
Yeah, I guess, but it's a team tiers. It's not individual tiers.
No, it's I'll excuse myself from this one.
No, you're roped right into it. You're not on Instagram, though.
Should we do dueling tiers?
Our own tiers.
Ooh, rival tiers.
Like more?
A lot of overlap, I bet. Like most things we do. It'd be
tier
a lot of
versus.
Overlap. Yeah.
So, yeah, people are mad at Anthony, but I think if you listen to the segment or if you ask yourself, nobody's giving up on him. This is the 2026 Red Sox. This isn't like predicting 2027 and beyond.
The career where we, before the year, had him in the Hall of Fame. We're small hall guys. Like we had him in the Hall of Fame.
So these people all think he's going to help the team this year. I think it's very wishful thinking. He can't swing a bat. It's July. He can't swing a bat. Also, when he was here, he wasn't great. It's not like he left a house of fire,
right.
And then you're like, I hurt his hand.
It's not
hopefully
automatic
back.
If he returns.
Even
he
if he
will
returns
be a good
tomorrow,
player.
You don't know what he's going to be for the rest of the season.
Correct.
But we know that he's not returning tomorrow.
So Duran last night, though, that play off the wall pissed me off. Yeah. I'm still annoyed at Bayo, too.
I get why you're annoyed, but I've just accepted it.
But why?
I thought you liked Rivera.
I do
try
like,
to argue Rivera up and
no,
then
no, I do like Rivera, but if Bayo is what he should be, you're not pitching openers. You're not pitching guys who can go
three
innings.
I don't think it was a This guy was supposed to go like three innings. He's gone three innings. Through his first
three innings.
That's
innings
that's
is an
opener.
Though.
That's an opener.
No, for him, it was always the first inning.
For Bayo?
Yeah.
No, I get it. But
no,
every
know,
time
but,
somebody
but,
else pitches the first inning when Bayo's the bulk guy, they suck.
Rivera's
no matter
not,
who it is.
Rivera's not a real starter. No, like the plan's three innings.
The most he's thrown in his life is 3 2/3.
No, I'm telling you, you're not going to like this. But the plan should be the rest of the way. If you're worried about Tolley innings or if you're worried about Connolly early when he does return innings,
Bayo's the bulk guy behind those guys.
Yep.
Yeah, didn't he piggyback on Tolley last?
Okay,
Tolley start to go.
He did.
Okay, but I'd be more okay.
I think that's
with,
what you have to do.
I'd be more
that's
okay with that.
Now.
Okay, but I'm okay with that.
Oh,
that's a guy who is starting, who can give you 4 or 5 innings.
But right now, they don't have enough starters.
Right, but they should. He's a starter.
He's not right
okay,
now.
But that's why I'm annoyed.
Be annoyed, but I'm not going to force him to start and then have him suck as a starter.
But this is why I'm annoyed at him
okay.
for last night
fine.
Because
fine.
He should be the guy taking these starts, but he can't.
No.
So you have to go to other guys. I think Rivera's been fine when he's been
fine.
In there prior to last night.
Yeah.
Last night was awful. He threw 50 pitches or whatever it was in the first inning. It felt like 100.
Oh,
so like
he didn't have it.
He did not. And honestly, if we want to be critical, they finally lost, so we can be we've been very complimentary for 15 straight games.
It's been good.
If this were Cora, and Cora was just watching Rivera throw bouncer after bouncer to the backstop, walk, hard contact, I'd be like,
he does have to face seven batters in the first inning, though.
Get him. Okay, but how many did he face? Nine?
Maybe.
Was it eight?
Well, yeah, they had to get Bale up because they didn't know how bad Rivera was going to be.
I mean, honestly, Bale should have been up immediately.
He could have been out quicker. He could have been out quicker if I can give a little criticism to my guy, Chad. I'm annoyed at both of those
Rivera
guys.
Rivera faced eight batters, it looks
so
like.
So what are they going to do? What's the plan with Duran and Bale? Are those guys here? Is Bale the bulk guy? Is Duran playing left field every day? Or are they going to finally move on from these two?
That's what I want to know now that
the win streak's over and the trade deadline's approaching.
Bale, to me, is going to remain as a bulk guy because they've had a couple of opportunities since he went to the minors to bring him up and start him because they've needed the starter, and they haven't done it. I don't think that's going
to... He got hit around in the minors, too. He couldn't...
Bale?
It's bizarre.
You don't think there's a chance that the way he's pitched in bulk in the majors, somebody's going to talk themselves into it at the deadline?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, if they take him, great, because his contract's not crazy for an actual starter. It is crazy for a bulk guy, and if that's what he is, I think if he remains on the Red Sox, he's a bulk guy, and for all the reasons I just said, maybe it's some of the young guys or whatever, and you put him into that spot. Duran, I would like to trade him. I just think there's still like a hang-up with the Red Sox that they think there's value in return there. And there just isn't. Like, he's not the 8 or 9 WAR player from a couple of years ago where he's getting MVP votes. He's got one of the worst WARs on the team right now. Like, if that's the stat that they want to point to, it's not going to work in their favor. Also, is he really a part of the future of this team? Like, no. So I guess other teams have to make that decision too. So, like, how much are they even going to give up for him? I think it's more addition by subtraction. However, they're probably thinking unless we get an outfielder in return and some other deal, we can't rely on Roman Anthony coming back. So what's the outfield going to look like? We can't really start Yoshida every day in the outfield.
I wouldn't think so. No.
So, but then again, like, Duran's not a plus player right now. So it might be one of those things where you're like, yeah, Trevor Story stinks, but like, how much better is Chang going to be? Oh, actually a lot better.
Better.
So, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's one of those things where you say, we got these guys that feel like more career minor leaguers, but they might actually give you a better performance. So I'd be willing to do that.
Text line on the win streak, which has now come to an end.
Yeah,
617-779-7937. Guys, if you want the streak to be meaningful,
I do.
They have to back it up and make the playoffs.
Well, obviously.
Well, I agree. I'm just saying the win streak means nothing if you can't at least make the postseason.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All they really have to do
is
play a game over 500 for the rest of the year, and it'll pretty much lock it up. This person also wants them to trade Duran to make the team more likable. I agree with
all
of that.
Good take.
The win streak.
I don't know if he's gone, though.
The win streak.
You think he's on the team?
Oh.
The rest of the year?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They've been trying to trade him. I mean, Breslow did have a deal lined up for him, and Cora blocked it.
Cora's not here anymore.
But I'm just saying, they have tried to trade him, and they've been trying, I think, here and there, but they just don't get what they want. So, no, I think he'll probably be your left fielder. And I bet Bayo's here as well, and I don't like either of those things.
Yeah, it's tough.
But if you want the win streak to be meaningful, you have to at least make the playoffs. I think that goes without saying. 617-779-7937. We can get into some deadline plans for the Red Sox. I also want to get into something Caleb Durbin said after the game last night, or at least the first game, I should say.
You know what they're calling him?
In the afternoon. Ooh, they're calling him Home Run Derby.
Bowser Jr.
Oh, wait, I think Bowser... I think Bowser Jr., they were throwing around with a lot of different people. Just him?
Well, I think so, because obviously Wilson Contreras is Bowser. I think it was it Will Fleming? I forget where I heard it. It might have been Fleming. It was like Bowser and Bowser Jr. are like new up the sitting. I'm like, damn, that is pretty good.
Scrappy-Doo was pretty good, but
it was.
Bowser Jr. is better.
Bowser Jr. is fantastic.
It's pretty funny, too, because Durbin hated Contreras before he got here because they had a little dust-up when he...
Cardinals and Brewers. Think about that. How about that?
Now they're best buds.
They're like
father and son.
No, they're just similar. They're just they didn't realize that when they were on opposing teams when they got
here. Oh, it happens all the time.
Spider-Man beam.
Right. We're the same.
I mean, not their heights, but everything
God,
else.
God, no.
This is Patrick from California. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
First time calling into the station. I'm a Red Sox fan from the Bay Area in California here. Some of these hitters have played a little bit above their heads, but the only thing that's really got me worried right now, but number four in MLB and ERA is really encouraging with this pitching staff that Craig Breslow has made. I'm going to see the Red Sox when they're in Sacramento here in a couple weeks, but overall, really just excited about the team.
Yeah. It's an extraordinary turnaround.
Good morning.
And it is. I mean, has Breslow saved his job?
Totally.
Oh, totally. Okay.
Could he be the executive of the year in Major League Baseball?
They make the playoffs. He might be.
Unbelievable. There's no comp, Greg. There's no team I can think of that in season, within weeks, has gone from worst team of all time to playoff legitimate contender.
Yeah.
There wasn't a major trade. They actually lost players and they got better.
I heard Bradfo on the station yesterday giving the credit to the Tartan Army.
Okay. Why?
Because that's when he believes that they got everybody fired up when they were at Fenway, and that was, from his perspective, that was the turnaround.
It's really the Jaylen Brown trade. They haven't lost since it.
That's true.
It is true.
What?
Everybody wanted Jaylen Brown out of Boston, apparently.
The other thing is I love Bradfo, you know that, but he sees that the Tartan Army gets clicked, so now he connects it to everything he talks about.
Well, I think he really loves them. He went to Scotland, did he not? I think he went.
Well, his daughter graduated from the University of Edinburgh.
Oh, okay. So he didn't go over there just to see the Tartan Army.
I mean, maybe he wouldn't have gone if it wasn't for the Tartan Army, but I believe that his daughter graduating was the impetus behind the trip.
No Bradford, no party.
Right. Amen. No Bradford, no tilted brim. But, yeah, it was shocking. Absolutely shocking. I cannot, the comeback win Saturday was really like, okay, at that point it was 11, 10 straight wins, and you're like, oh, all good things must come to an end.
Yeah.
They swept the doubleheader Friday. It was a weird day where the late game was delayed. There was a rainy afternoon, whatever. Ken was on the pregame. He's a jinx, whatever you want to blame it on. And then you have Abreu with that home run. That is the moment, right? That's the moment of the season right now.
Yes.
Tarps off.
100%. That's the moment of the season.
Yeah, Lou jumping up and down. Great call with Dave O'Brien on Nesson. Like, that is the signature. That's the, Eckersley with Mookie Betts in 2018, where it's time to party. Like, that was the 2026 version of that call. Just a great organic Fenway moment. Awesome.
Yeah, and so I am anxiously awaiting, as I think everybody is, the buying process. And you better be buying big. And so... I'm assuming that you want, there's a lot of talk about, Lindor, who's a lefty. Like, why are you adding lefty bats to this team?
You need a right-handed bat and you need number three starting pitcher. That's what you need. And they have the assets to get it done. I feel like the fan base is now fully back in again. And you're going to be, if you approach this deadline the way you did last year, the boos that Breslow got in Fall River will pale in comparison to what he feels this time around. Because fans are anxious, and we may be without baseball next year. So might as well go for it right now, because who knows what these prospects will be and when they'll actually get to the big leagues in the first place.
Here's a 617 text that says, which happens first, Bill Belichick goes back to the NFL as a head coach, or Greg goes on his run? Listen. Savage, Scheim, your buddy Savage was all over me, Savage Boston, saying I need to go on that run. I tried to get it set up for Fenway Park. They're not into it.
Is it Dave Mellor?
I'm more likely to go on a run than this team is, Craig.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Is it a Dave Mellor thing that he thinks that you will ruin the grass or
ruin
the
field? I think that's what it is. Yeah. Worried about that.
I mean, Chad Tracy's on Wednesday. We can ask him. Yeah. He's the skip.
Yeah, yeah.
He should be able to get
it. He could probably approve it.
Totally.
Go above Colin Birch's head or anybody else's head over there.
Far be it for me to say who's above his head, but yes. My guess is Chad Tracy has some pull.
Yeah.
Especially today.
No, I mean, it's an extraordinary turnaround. It really is.
How was the vibe Friday?
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I think I said earlier, Lou was spot on saying that this is what Fenway Park should be. That game, you brought it up Saturday, people sitting through the delay, people like into it in the rain, and they get it done. It's awesome.
It was great. Awesome. What a great call. The tarps off, all the guys, just many of whom probably wanted to put it back on, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
Totally out of nowhere.
Were you guys doing your show over there?
No, we were here Saturday.
Oh, you were here Saturday.
Yep, the James man came in.
Oh, he did.
We had a great. Yep, he took over for Ken for a bit, and no, it was a Ken did the pregame show. What's with the wildfires? They come in, they go out. What was that again?
Yankees.
There you go. Ooh, Yankees.
You're doing the show Saturday from Gillette?
Gillette Stadium, Patriots training camp. As Ken put it, as the lid lifter. I'd never heard that term before.
Oh, the lid lifter? What does that mean?
The opener, like you're opening the lid. Something's happened to Ken. He's like, he bears no resemblance. He's totally disconnected. I try and talk to him like off air. He's like,
Pelota, como estas?
He's calling Worcester games. And then whenever we talk about Chad Tracy, he acts like he's known him for a lifetime. He's like, oh, well, when I was at Worcester, I'm like, okay, you did two games. You spent half of it at the omelet station in the press box.
Put a smile on that one.
Chad Tracy's being inducted into the Woo Sox Hall of Fame on Thursday.
That's awesome. So, I mean, he deserves it, but I am thrilled. I think it's going to be a record crowd at Gillette Stadium Saturday. The reigning AFC champions begin training camp. There will be, my guess, many Vrabel chants, like standing with the coach. Yeah. There'll be a lot of fans there screaming in his defense. It'll be, it's going to be, I don't know the last, it's probably been like 15 years since I've been at Patriots training camp.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how it's set up.
It should be. I mean, veterans have to report Friday, Saturday, day one. Ken and Curtis there.
Yeah, you don't really go into it thinking about it. It's just you keep stacking one win, you know, over another, and then you get close, and then the games, you know, once you get within three or four, they start to feel like playoff games because you want to get there, and which is also a great experience. But yeah, then you look back at it and think about, you know, where you're doing it and how long it's, you know, this franchise has existed.
Bowser Jr., a.k.a. Scrappy Doo, a.k.a. Home Run Derby, Caleb Durbin. After the first game yesterday, playoff environment, which is a good experience for us. We can get into that here on Jones and Keefe, live in the Catches Law Injury Attorney Studios. No fee unless you win. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. Do you agree with that premise that a win streak like this, the environment, the way they battled back to extend the streak because they wanted it, there was something at stake, at least for them?
Yeah.
Although I thought you could tell Henderson was annoying me a little bit last night. Gunnar Henderson was like,
he is annoying.
He was hot dogging around a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when he scored,
you're
on
having a bad season, your team blows.
When he scored on a wild pitch, I think he had like the MJ tongue out at one point. So nice. I'm like, he's annoying me a little bit. Yeah. So I think the other teams were all trying to stop it and wanted to end the win streak and understood what was going on at Fenway. And so on some level,
Seager also did kind of take a shot at them too.
No, I mean, that's fine. He did. And he was right. They won the series. So
I'm not saying he was wrong. I'm just saying that they probably paid attention to a little bit more
than other teams. I see your point. Do you buy into that premise that this was a good experience and as much preparation as you can get in July for playoff games?
100%. Yeah, that was one of the things that stood out, especially when they came back home, right? So they started the winning streak on the road, then they came back home, and we were talking about what an electric atmosphere it was. But you can even see, and Durbin's a good example, when he hit the home run the other night in the eighth inning, the reaction by the dugout wasn't a typical July game.
No.
And I know, like, you know, that wasn't a walk-off, but like when there were walk-offs, they get excited, and we've seen other teams, you know, dump the Gatorade bucket and stuff like that, and they're happy about it. But I think that the streak was like on their mind, and they started to talk about it. And even when they were talking about it, they're still going out there and winning. So as far as like putting pressure on yourself in a game in July, it's probably the closest thing you can do, because even when you're chasing the standings and you're chasing a couple of teams that you're not playing against, there is always the way baseball is like, well, as long as we win the series. So like, if you lose the game, you're like, well, whatever. Like, we come back tomorrow and do it. That's the whole nature of baseball, but not when you're chasing a historic streak. So, yeah, I 100% agree with what he was saying.
I agree with Wiggy this morning, too. That's basically what Wiggy said. He's like, well, now that you have a 15-game win streak, all you got to do is win some series. And
yes,
focus
100%.
On, you don't have to focus on another 10-game win streak. You don't need that. You had the streak you needed to save your season. And I think if you told me before the year, we'd wake up on July 23rd and the Red Sox would be two games up on a playoff spot and three games over 500. I'd be like, well, that sounds about right. Maybe the lead in the wild card. Honestly, I'd be a little surprised at that with how bad the American League is.
Yeah.
This is where they should be. And if they keep winning series, they are going to be a playoff team. I do not expect them to fall off. I expect them to be one of the better teams in the AL going forward, especially because the American League is down and the trade deadline can impact a lot of that. But that's not what this win streak did for you. You don't need to rip off another 10 in a row. You might not need to rip off another 6, 7, 8 in a row. You just need to keep winning series. And if you can do that, starting with Toronto on Friday, going out to Vegas and playing the A's, those are two teams you should beat. The Dodgers are a series you might not win. But that'll be a good measuring stick game right at the trade deadline. Keep winning series, yeah. You're going to be a playoff team. That's what the win streak did. They won 15 in a row, as you know, Keith.
Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
80 years ago in 1946, they also won 15 straight.
Yeah.
The president at the time.
Who's that?
Harry Truman.
Damn.
Did you know?
I was a history minor, after all.
That in 1946, Keith,
yeah,
the U.S. only had 48 states. There was no Alaska yeah. and Hawaii at
How
that point.
How it should
in time.
Be, by the way.
Continental,
the only ones I recognize.
Yeah, see, I do.
You're going to be touching.
I do go for that manifest destiny. It's like, we want it. We can get it.
Alaska might as well be Russia.
I do want Greenland.
Hawaii, that's so far away.
Make Puerto
you
Rico a state.
Oh, you want Greenland?
Yeah.
You're after Greenland.
Of course I am.
Oh, you want Canada.
Well, I want Canada too.
How many states?
He wants it all.
Is there enough? You just want to conquer the world.
69. Yeah. I think we top out at 69 states.
You're just like a bad movie villain.
Give me
take over the world. Then what?
I don't know. I'll have it.
To do what with? Just in charge of everybody.
48 states back in 1946.
Wow.
The average cost, Keith, of a new car.
Oh, okay. New car, like a Model T Ford?
Sure.
It'd probably be like $700?
$1,100.
$1,100?
Yeah.
Oh, I undersold it.
I think 46.
That's probably a nice model.
Big tariffs here.
What's the AC?
Yeah, I think you got the leather seats in that one, I think is what it was.
Moonroof?
A new home in 1946?
This is going to make me sick.
The car didn't bother me too much. Right, I saw this and so I was not thrilled.
$1,429.
So if it was $1,000, $1,000 basically for a car, so would a house be $25,000?
$5,600.
That's actually less than rent now.
That's the average home. Now, look, in a place like Boston, I'm sure it was a little higher.
Probably a little bit higher, especially because that team, they had a Red Sox team that was on a heater.
Gallon of gas?
Ooh, gallon of gas, 10 cents.
15 cents.
15 cents.
Movie also, ticket, Keith. I don't think this is the IMAX rate. Movie ticket?
Movie ticket. Okay. This probably would have been a dollar.
Quarter.
Ugh. Do you know how much I spent to go see the freaking?
Or was it an IMAX back then?
Yeah, I think IMAX was probably a buck. Yeah. I think Billy's onto something with that. Best Picture in 1946, Keith. I believe
I should know this.
I probably had subtitles.
So now, not to be that guy, but you're saying the movie that came out in 46 that won Best Picture, or the 1946 Academy Awards, which really would have been a 1945 movie. This is a pretty big distinction.
I'm reading from a graphic that Nesson put out. That says it won Best Picture that year. I don't know what that means.
So it probably came out in 1945 because they always do the Oscars in like March for the previous year. I'd have no idea.
Lost weekend.
Yeah, I would not have gotten that with a million guesses.
She had subtitles.
Say it again.
Movies had sound in 1945.
Maybe.
It's sound and color.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, not all the movies were in color, but like this is post.
Wasn't Charlie Chaplin.
The picture of Ted Williams is in black and white. The NBA had not yet formed in 1946. And, oh, by the way, as a texter pointed out, to put the win streak in perspective, Keith, Jackie Robinson had not made his debut.
Oh, my God. Did you see over the weekend they were talking about Jackie Robinson and his wife is still alive?
No.
She's 104 years old, and she looks fantastic.
Good for her.
It's amazing. So, yeah, they're talking about Jackie Robinson. But, so, yeah, that's pretty impressive. It's a Wonderful Life came out in 1946.
Ah,
so that's another.
That's
one
that probably the 47 Academy Awards.
Correct.
That one I've seen. That was black and white, by the way, for you guys poo-pooing me.
It sure was.
Let's go to Mike in Dedham. Hello, Mike.
Get a Mike.
Hey, Jones and Keith. How you doing?
Good.
All right. So I'm calling to discuss the trade deadline. I saw a bunch of names: C.J. Abrams, Hunter Goodman, Gleyber Torres. The list goes on and on and on. Just wanted to get your guys' opinion on who you think realistically we could get and who you want to see added at the trade deadline.
Let me give you the most realistic name that no one likes.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Luis Arraez.
Luis Arraez. This is Jones' guy.
Super realistic. Yeah. He's going to get moved.
Get
Everyone hates him. He hits 320.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants him. I guarantee you he gets moved.
He's on a new team every year.
If you want a super realistic one and like a very attainable, gettable player, that's the one. If you want longer shot names, he mentioned Goodman.
Yeah, Goodman's a great name to throw on there.
I don't think Abrams is going to move. Passan wrote about this the other day, but fine. They've been connected to the Nationals. The GM of the Nationals was formerly in the Red Sox front office. So, like, James Wood, his name has come up. Abrams' name has come up, Luis Garcia. Like, if you want to look to that team, that's a team.
Arise will be their other 800 OPS guy.
Say it again?
Arise will be their other 800 OPS guy.
This year, I was looking at it. He hasn't been an 800 OPS guy.
Since 2023.
Yeah,
that counts
okay.
for Keith.
Okay,
I mean, you know what?
Good point.
Keith rules, he's
okay.
good.
Yeah.
But no, my dream would be Zach Neto and Byron Buxton. I know that there are sort of obstacles with both of those guys, but those are just two names that might be out there as well. Francisco Lindor, depending on how they can figure out the money on both sides of that. Like, I don't think the Red Sox wouldn't take on the full salary, but I don't think any team would.
I'd be really interested in him. I think a lot of it's gone bad in New York.
Yeah.
He's not having a good year. Oh. He was hurt for a
he
bulk
and Soto
of it.
Soto hate each other.
Right. But I think so too.
Yeah.
That's a guy that I would be really interested in them bringing in. Switch hitter, shortstop. That's a guy I'd be interested in bringing
in. It does seem like there are a lot of names right now. Now, 2 weeks from now, nobody could have moved, and it might be one of those like quiet deadlines. I guess that's a possibility, but it seems like a bunch of teams that I would say are out of it, that if they really want to make a move and get some prospects and things, it should be up for grabs.
Mark Feinsand wrote today, the primary need for the Red Sox is a right-handed bat.
That's yesterday's papers.
Preferably at catcher.
Well, I mean, they could upgrade catcher, but I think right-handed bat is
somebody
that doesn't follow the team every day.
I think they need a lefty stick more than a righty bat, believe it or not. I never would have thought that in the offseason. Their lefties...
It might even be a pitcher before a right.
Okay,
righty
fine.
Bat.
Maybe. Like, a righty bat has dropped. I'll take one.
Yeah.
But it's dropped down my list. I kind of think a lefty stick is a bigger need.
No, I think a good...
starting pitcher is a sneaky need.
I think a good counter to people that are like, well, like righty bat over lefty bat is, besides Willie Abreu, which lefty bat do you like?
Duran.
No, do you
Yoshida,
like? You like?
Tony Siegel's the switch hitter.
You don't like any of them?
No.
You know, like, well, where now that Durbin is at least hitting a little bit, and Rafaela is an all-star, and Wilson Contreras is having a great season.
Even Romy has.
And now Romy, he's off to a slow start, but I think that that'll change. That's four righties right there that you at least feel decent about.
Yeah.
So I would take the catcher. I would upgrade catcher. I would upgrade shortstop. I would upgrade left field.
Plus, a lefty bat is you're going to face more righties. So a lefty bat, I think, goes farther. It also says you could use a middle infield spot, as you said, or a DH, which means anything.
Any player, yeah.
Adding a high leverage reliever is also on Boston's wish list.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think they need one?
No, they have Bale.
Bale's bulk. The Guerrero, Whitlock, Chapman. I mean, every team.
I agree. They don't need one, but go get one. That's
would you
fine.
Rather? Would you rather? I know it's Thursday. Would you rather a starter or a reliever at this point, based on the injuries and everything?
I would rather a starter who Feinsand said could also be in the cards to protect its trio of young starters, their innings limits, Toley, Early, and Bennett.
Here's what you do: if you get a starter to help you get through the rest of the regular season, then come playoff time, who knows who's healthy and who isn't?
Those guys are going to shift to the bullpen.
Maybe Peyton Toley's throwing darts in the seventh inning, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good. So, no, I wouldn't really go after a reliever.
By the way, I wasn't going to allow for this tweet from Cole, but since you opened up Pandora's box with a would you rather on a Thursday, Keith.
My bad.
I will give special dispensation to Cole's tweet.
Right. Cole also has a would you rather?
Yeah, at Jones and Keith.
Yeah.
At Jones, WEEI, at Keith21. Guys, not to do a would you rather on a Thursday.
Or at least he recognizes.
But would you rather have the games yesterday as is or flipped? I think the thud early to lose the record, but then the immediate response of a great showing would be a little better than the record and then a crappy outing. I'd rather have the record and the crappy outing, but it's an interesting question.
Yeah, I get his point, and I think we'd have a different answer depending on how the Toronto series goes. Well, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because we want to see what it looks like. Like, so the streak was going to end at some point.
Right, if this
What's
turns into a four-game losing streak.
Then you're like, oh, they should have switched it.
But I was thinking
right now,
about this.
No, I'm good with the record.
I was thinking about
record.
This watching it last night. I'm like, well, Rivera was supposed to pitch Tuesday, and oy, they wouldn't have got to 15 in a row.
A lot of things got to go your way on a 15-game win streak.
Interesting. I think I'd rather have it play out the way it played out, but they got to bounce back from their first loss in a long time.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
Cam, this
Step
is a little rush.
A week and a half away, my trip to New York.
Oh, yeah.
Next week in MSG.
A little preview of it.
Yeah. By the way, outside on Lansdowne Street, we got a couple young lads with a signed first Red Sox game, a Target sign. Even Roman Anthony made it on the cardboard cutout. So, Ted, you were saying, I don't know, we haven't seen a sellout in a couple days here, despite the vibes.
Yep.
Maybe tonight's the night.
Maybe. And maybe it's people. I give them a lot of credit for coming out of the break on such a good run. I was listening to some of the things that Chad Tracy was saying about what they expected them to do when they went into the All-Star break, and they basically were like, look, we don't want to lose any momentum, so get your swings in, get your work in while you're away. for the All-Star break so we can pick up where things left off. And I didn't think they'd come out 4-0, guys. I was really skeptical, and they did. So
beat good pitchers, beat Rasmussen yesterday.
Yeah,
not dude. Even a, like a close game, 6-1.
Yeah, yeah. And Rich, you've been hitting it a lot today. Just they're coming back. How many times, for most of the season, if they got into a 1-0 hole early in the game, it was it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
But now they don't give up and let go of the rope like they did earlier in the season.
And this was the most impressive sweep, I think, of the season so far because, to your point, Ted, you know, they had that week off, but it also included, you know, an All-Star break where the Red Sox were like a huge story. You know, going into it, they were completely on a roll. Wilson Contreras is having his big moment. There is no better time for a team to smell their own farts than a week off when you're the big story.
That's right.
And for them to come back against the best team in the American League and just beat them, like beat them badly the way that they did and come from behind and have back-to-back multi. I mean, Wilyr Abreu was just awesome. He just went out there and just had back-to-back games with multiple home runs. Contreras has been great. They did
Contreras
not miss a beat.
Not ruined by the home run derby, Rich. You almost cursed him with that one, but no, he's fine. Swinging.
I was worried about that too.
It's the new format. The new format where you're not constantly just like going hard. You know, you get limited That's number right. of swings. So, I think this was the most impressive. I think of the entire season, the Yankees one was great, but you know, this one, they're truly the best. They beat the best team after a break when they should have been, you know, almost checked out. They had every excuse to check out and they didn't. So,
and I
keep
do
it
think
going,
this
man.
Series is interesting because now Baltimore's won 7 in a row. They have Pete Alonso. You played them once this year, and they beat you 2 out of 3, and the games weren't even close. One of those games was Bayo starting, and there were like 12 men to the plate in the first inning, and it was a disaster, and they sent him to AAA after the game. So you've been rolling in the AL East, but you got to handle Baltimore now.
I don't know if this resonates with you guys at all, but it kind of did for me. You go, man, they've won 13 games in a row. How many games have they lost in a row? They did have a stretch where they lost 5 in a row, and then they had 3 stretches where they lost 4 in a row. But you go, okay, well, they have had to have a stretch as bad as they were when they were 14 games under 500, at least one point where they had, you know, I don't know, close to double-digit losses in a row, they did it. So, I mean, for this 13-game win streak, I think it makes it even more impressive when you consider their longest losing streak was only 5 games.
All right, let's go to line 4. Ralph, how's it going, my man? What's happening? Oh, hey, he's Ralph. Gone.
He didn't want
oh,
to
Ralph. He had a hot take. He said it's going to be great to get Story back at DH.
Is it?
I don't know.
It's like, gives him another option, I guess.
The 206 average, the 244 on base percentage guy, that guy.
Even like Yoshida's hitting now. He's 10-for-27 in this streak. He's so a couple homers. He's hitting, that's 370. He's been playing good. Like they have contributions from literally everybody.
Yeah. Maybe and everyone's better than they were with Cora.
Yeah.
It felt like Trevor was just kind of off mentally too this year. I felt like he didn't feel as. I don't know, is bought in. I think, you know, we know he did not like Alex Cora getting fired. That was kind of his binky.
That's true. That's why he agreed to pick up his extension and come back.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just feel like Trevor Story mentally just wasn't in it this year. So I'm not really hot on him coming back.
But what do you think now, Rich, what do you think of those quotes, the Breslow quotes? You were reading them earlier from the Globe story and also Cotillo. Like, they are as far from full throttle in their language, at least Breslow. He's just like, we're going to wait and see.
Rich, go ahead. It felt like when they were 14 games under, he was more positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Than he is right now. I feel like he's tempering his comments. What did you think, Rich?
I think it's, and I can't believe I'm giving him credit, I think it's the right thing to say. And the reason is not because I think he truly believes that, but I also think it's like if you just say, yeah, man, we're going all in, you know, that drives the price up of anyone you want to get. On top of that, you know, you don't have to say that right now. You don't
but
have
can't
to.
Can't you just at least admit your buyers? Like,
no.
Why not?
No.
Just like I think everybody knows you are.
I think because it puts more pressure on him to get a deal done. When he puts it. So he doesn't want to put any extra pressure on himself. That's what he's trying to avoid that. That's what he's trying to avoid.
I can't believe I'm giving him credit, but I read that comment, and a lot of people are getting very angry about that. I just don't believe it. I do think that they are legitimately going to try to make some sort of move, and I believe a part of it is because, you know, Breslow still might not feel safe, even that they had this big comeback, although he's probably feeling safer and safer by the day. I believe they're going to have to, like, he's going to have to make some sort of effort to make a good move. But, you know, are they going to end up having a half measure? Most likely, probably. And the excuse is going to be no one was selling. But I guess we'll see what other teams do. If the other teams are able to pull off a big trade for a position that you wanted, then you have a right to be pissed. But if not, you know, maybe that's going to be the best that they get because no one's selling. There's just too many teams with this format now that are in it. And in the American
League,
too.
That's what he should say. He should say that. Breslow should say, look, we want to buy, but we also want to see who's selling, and we want to get the best deal possible, so we're going to wait a little bit. Like, he doesn't have to go into this whole, well, we're not sure, we're gathering information, and we're not.
I just feel like if he puts that out there, then it's, okay, oh, he said they're going to be buyers. Then he's pressured to actually have to step up and buy, you know, not – I mean, they can be buyers, but it's like little small pieces that like he did last year.
That's not going to cut it. I don't think that works. Do you think if he, I mean, he has to get a legit bat that people have heard of.
You don't think he's sitting there thinking, well, we got Roman's going to come back, Story's going to come back,
Myers
going to come back?
He might be, but I don't think the fan base will accept that.
I'm scared of that, Ted. That's what I think's coming. I think what's going to happen is they're going to make a small move. And he's going to say, well, listen, we have a feeling that we're going to be getting Trevor and Roman back, and that's our big move that we need. You know, this is going to be
great. They don't need small moves. The whole team is small moves, like AAA, Quad A guys that are playing above their heads.
And he's going to say that. Well, look, you know, we didn't think this guy was any great shakes, and look what he's doing now.
What if I put it to you this way? You just say they don't need small moves. If I tell you that they just go 500 the rest of the way, they'll have 83 wins. And that is that could maybe be enough to get them into the playoffs. Do you think they're looking at the same numbers? I could see them going, we just got to make a tweaker here and there. If we get to 86 wins, they were at 87 wins last year and got in as the third wild card. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you need to do that much.
Yeah, that's tight, though. You're one game up on Seattle. There's a bunch of teams behind them. I mean, like, if you lose this series, you could be out of a playoff spot again. It's that close.
Good point. All right, let's go to Peter on line one. Peter, what's happening, my man? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Nice day. Hopefully, the Sox make it 14 in a row tonight. On the Alex Cora thing, I never thought they should have brought him back in the first place. Guy's a cheater. He finished last three of the last 4 years in a row. He finished last. Okay. And Teddy, you're picking on Trevor Story. The guy was playing with the sports hernia. Okay. One other thing about Cora, he didn't play Abreu against left-handed pitching, did he? How's Cora doing now? How's the brain doing now against left-handed pitching? Cora was so clueless. He didn't even play this guy against lefties.
Listen, Peter, you're making some good points. I mean, as I said, I think you can be a great manager, but just not a great manager for a specific team. And every you could to a man, almost every player has improved since Alex Cora left. And it's not like a huge change in roster, right? It's because sometimes you'll see the injured players come back. Most of the people who are injured. Now we're injured when Cora was there. What did he get, like a couple of games out of Roman Anthony, Chad Tracy, before he left? But Crochet's been gone. Trevor Story's been gone. I mean, it's essentially the same guys. And name a player who's been worse. Actually, better yet, name a player who hasn't improved since Alex Cora left.
Okay,
it's tough.
Why did it take so long? Like, they fired him and it was just another month and a half before it really took off. It doesn't feel like that's the turning point. You know, when you really look back at it.
I agree. It's hard to just I mean, if all of a sudden they got better right away,
right,
then it's easier to make that argument. I feel like you do.
It takes time to change a team's DNA. It takes time to get these people to believe that they are protected, that they can ignore the noise now, that they're not going to be called out. Maybe they needed to see how Chad Tracy worked for a good sample size, 2 weeks to a month. But man, it was pretty quick. Like, I mean, when you think relatively, what was he there for? 6 weeks, maybe 7 weeks until things turned around? Dude, that's really freaking fast. But you got to get to know the guy. You got to learn to trust him.
Well, not in Philly. I mean, Mattingly came in and the Phillies went on a tear. I mean,
yeah,
Joe
but they
had
tons of talent. But their talent was it's insane. They were well underperforming. Like, this is a team that...
And Mattingly, he was already on the big league roster, too.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you guys think about his... Am I being unfair to Trevor Story? Is this hernia he had, was this a factor, you think?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, listen, that's the excuse. And I don't want to say excuse. That's not the right term. But that is what he's been saying. I mean, apparently he was playing with that hernia. I don't know. All I know is that he was disappointing. I'm not as – to him, I'm not as worried about coming back as I am Roman Anthony and how that's going to affect things. And I'm not calling out Roman Anthony for one thing or the next, but it sure does seem that there's a weird vibe between the team and him. And I just don't know if it's a more than just baseball that's going to affect the game once he gets back. Or affect
it's kind of a good point by Bradford, though. With Roman, there's at least a place to put him because you know you have a left field slash DH gap where he could slot in. Because of Trevor Story, and he's got a year left on his deal, if you go out and trade for a shortstop, you have to also make another move. Like, cause there's a lot of shortstops on the market. C.J. Abrams is the big name from the Nationals. But if you trade for him, then where's Story go? You know?
It's going to be hard to trade, too, with his contract.
Yeah, it would be hard to trade.